offer that can change your future. Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider.
Dr. John Ford, Senior Research Psychologist for MSPB.
While most federal employees try to learn things related to their job, some try to develop skills in areas that require some pre-existing ability, things like language ability, reasoning ability, and we're looking at trying to encourage people to do some pre-assessment before they take on that kind of training so that training resources are not spent on people who are not prepared to learn.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider.
Find news about federal information assurance and new information from various agency CISOs and CIOs on the Federal Security Spotlight on federalnewsradio.com, sponsored by Cisco.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Lisa Dizzuti, the CEO and President of Market Connections. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Let's start by telling people where they can find Market Connections.
We are located in Chantilly, Virginia, 13455 Avion Parkway in Chantilly, Virginia.
You moved out of Fairfax.
We did.
What's the web address?
www.marketconnectionsinc.com.
MarketConnectionsInc.com. Cool. Lisa, you've got a new study coming out, and we'll get there sooner or later, but let's get a little background on Market Connections. You and I have known each other
a long time.
When we met, you were the marketing director at GTSI.
Right, yeah.
So take it from there, and then why and when you started Market Connections.
Yeah, many years ago at GTSI, and I think I've been doing this for 25-plus years, which is sort of scary, having my 50th birthday next month, so I've been doing this a little bit longer than I like to think about. But Market Connections celebrated its 15th anniversary last month. It's really hard to believe that 15 years have gone by so quickly. Time really does fly. And as you know, we've come a long way from, you know, 15 years ago when we started our first project was a focus group project. We've come a long way. We're now doing research in 21 different countries, 16 different languages. We have a strong focus on the public sector. That's really something that we have grown into. We didn't necessarily set out to be that, but now we are really the go-to source for government contractors serving the public sector.
Your first focus group wasn't on the government market?
It was not.
Okay.
It was not.
I don't think I knew that.
It was in technology. It was actually testing handheld devices.
Oh, handheld devices 15 years ago?
Yeah.
How much they weigh?
Yeah.
About 30 pounds?
Yeah. So, but not in public sector, but still in technology. So we're today serving over half of the top 20 government contractors. We, last couple of years have had a real strong focus around health IT, cybersecurity, and are continuing that this year. We're very excited about what lies ahead. Last year, I think, as you know, we got our GSA schedule. Mm-hmm. So now we're proud to be serving government employees and not just interviewing them for our research projects.
Cool. Can you mention any agencies you do work for?
Yeah, we have an IDIQ with the Department of Education, and we're on a couple of BPAs with GSA. So it's really exciting stuff, good stuff. We're looking forward to the years ahead.
Okay, cool. Now, you've been doing focus groups the whole time.
Yeah.
10 years ago, in 2001... You did your first publicly available, I guess it was kind of a media study.
Yeah, it was a marketing media study, and we do focus. We started out doing focus groups, but we're really full service now. We do all kinds of telephone survey work. We do online surveys, still do a few mail surveys now and again. So it really does run the gamut of research methodologies depending on the client need. And I would say 90%, Mark, of what we do is custom research, but we generally have three or four studies that come out every year. Some folks call them syndicated studies. I tend to call them off-the-shelf We do them, and then they're made available to many versus custom, which is proprietary to an individual client. So, yeah, 10 years ago, we started out doing a marketing media study. That really has evolved into the tool that we're going to talk more about, the study and tool we're going to talk more about today, which is really a media consumption study. How is media being consumed by the federal audience?
Habits.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But let's, I do want to do a little bit of the historic thing here because it's been pretty fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the release of the first study. So let's talk about the scope of that, why that particular study sort of went by the way, and how it morphed into a few other different studies.
Yeah, the very first off-the-shelf study that we did 10 years ago really was, had a lot of data in it around different contractors and what their awareness levels are in the federal market. You know, when it comes to, back then, 11 years ago, I think we were asking, you know, specifically about hardware, software.
Yeah.
And that's obviously has evolved. Yeah, absolutely. We are asking about systems integration. We've had that and evolved over the years to ask more about professional services. So, in terms of what are their awareness levels in the market, how familiar were federal employees with them, we asked about factors that influence their decision to work with a particular vendor. What are the influencers? We asked about different sources of information that they're using to learn about information technology. But over the years, that really evolved away from an off-the-shelf report where companies, government contractors, wanted their own custom study asking those questions and doing a deeper dive to get at specifics for them to answer their specific questions and address their specific needs. So those types of questions we now ask today in custom studies. We don't do that anymore as an off-the-shelf study.
Right. It would be, let's just say it's evolved. But back then,
mm-hmm.
you know, there were really a very limited number, comparatively speaking, of information choices.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. I mean, you had your you know, five to eight tried and true sources that people went to. And it's very interesting when I tell you a little bit about what we saw in the media study this year, we really are seeing that expand. People really are broadening the different types of media that they're accessing to get information. But yeah, back then you had maybe five or even three top sources of information that people were using.
Right,
print was on top, and then over the years we saw that evolve to online, you know, mm-hmm. websites.
But
colleagues, let's not forget colleagues.
Colleagues
that has
always
been a top
yep.
source of information.
Yep,
absolutely.
And for a long, long time, I remember this stat. I use this stat in my book, the mm-hmm. first book. I didn't use it in the second book because the study wasn't there anymore,
mm-hmm.
but I reference it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, colleagues are important because it comes from someone with whom you have a relationship. But colleagues were always, in the early studies, edging out the web or publications for where you really make your buying decision.
Absolutely, and we hear that in a variety of the research that we do today. We still hear that. I hear people talk about it, federal employees talk about it in focus groups, and that has implications for the contracting community because you want to make sure that you are telling a story around past performance and what have you done for other agencies, who can they talk to, you know, what are the case studies, what have you done, who have you done it for, and what was the outcome?
Let's take this off our normal track here for a mm-hmm. second. What is that a contributing factor to the rapid rise the last couple of years to the thought leadership type position?
I think that it is absolutely has contributed to that. And I think it is also contributing to the rise that we're seeing in the use of social media tools
mm-hmm.
because they can easily access, more easily and readily access colleagues, others, folks in other agencies and have conversations with them more readily and easily
mm-hmm.
through social media than they have been in the past.
Right. And there's a number of groups, I know they're on LinkedIn and some on Facebook, that in order to join the group, you have to have, you know, three boxes filled. You have to be a government employee, you have to be in this discipline, maybe even in this agency. But, you know, there's also, you know, private social networks and wikis where people can share this data as well.
Yeah, and, you know, back to thought leadership, I think everybody's sort of clamoring around thought leadership. I sometimes cringe just to say the word because it's becoming one of those overused terms.
Well, and misused.
Overused and misused. But there is opportunity to try and build legitimate credibility without the sales pitch around, you know, certain topics in the government.
My guest today is Lisa DeZutti, President and CEO of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This century's work models are based on collaboration. But how do you define, manage, and more importantly, increase collaboration? When you think about increasing collaboration, leveraging the power of your connected teams, utilizing the collective brains of your trusted communities, and raising the quality of your collaborative decisions, you need the constant social networking with your trusted communities. Join Federal News Radio and Cisco for the Future of Public Sector Workforce and Workspace Sustainability series. This fourth panel in the series focuses on the Trusted Knowledge Network. Today's work is executed in teams of communities requiring constant, reliable access to your trusted knowledge network, which means constantly identifying, finding, and connecting with the right people and information instantly. Tune in March 15th at Federal News Radio 1500 AM at noon to hear experts from government and industry discuss these topics and more. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword work.
Here's Dave Epperson, CIO NPPD, DHS on the Federal Executive Forum at the DHS CIO Roundtable Live from the 2011 FCA Homeland Security Conference.
Instead of just focusing on information sharing, doing the backbone of that and doing knowledge management so that we have fidelity information and that information can be tracked and how it's used so we can start targeting what can be used with our resources.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Join AFSEA for Critical Issues in C4I, May 24th through 25th at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Together with the George Mason University C4I Center for Excellence, AFSEA brings you the experts in cloud computing, network security, and military use of commercial IT. Exhibit and sponsorship opportunities are available. Register and collaborate with your colleagues today at www.afsea.org, keyword GMU.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
John Owens is the Chief Information Officer at the Patent and Trademark Office. He says new technology will improve how employees work outside the office.
We are delivering a fully capable collaboration suite of tools, including a voice over IP phone and a set of telecommunications for instant messaging, presence, as well as video teleconferencing capabilities, along with file sharing, right at each and every individual's desktop.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on 1500 a.m. Join me this week for my special guest, John Dedon, principal at Odin Feldman and Pittleman. And the show is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
For 11 years, government leaders have gathered to explore the latest mandates and best practices at the Government Performance Summit. Today, with a major revision to the Government Performance and Results Act, there is an unparalleled opportunity to integrate analytics into better decision-making for the entire nation. Join hosts the Performance Institute, FMA, AGA, and GovEvents, April 4th through the 6th for the 11th Annual Government Performance Summit. Space is limited, so register today at governmentperformance.org.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Lisa DeZutti. Lisa's the CEO and president of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. They do have a, we're going to be talking about their newest study shortly, and go to their website, marketconnectionsinc.com, on March 29 at the Tysons Corner Marriott. They will be hosting an AM, a breakfast briefing on this. I believe it's 2 hours, 7 to 9?
It starts at 8 o'clock.
8 to 10?
Yeah, we have Fed 100 the night before, so I'm giving everybody a chance to sleep in a little bit. We're not starting until 8.
Well, that's one more awards thing that I won't go to because I don't wear ties. And normally I don't even wear a black suit anymore. Jeans is much, much nicer for me. Or at least more comfortable.
Right.
But be that as it may. So fast forward. 3 years ago, you got a call from Sarah Lyman. Take it from there.
Yeah, Sarah Lyman now with TMP. I've known Sarah for probably about as long as I've known you, Mark. And mm-hmm. she called and said she had an idea for a research study. And could we get together for coffee? We did. We met on Halloween at a Starbucks. I remember it very well. She started talking to me about this media study, media consumption, how the federal audience is consuming media. And the more she talked, the more excited I got about it. And I said, Sarah, if you really want to move forward with this study in the federal space, there is no other research company other than Market Connections to work with you on this, to partner with you on this, because we have, you know, such a background and strength in doing research in the federal market. So
right.
That's really how it all started. And
Tell us a little bit about the first study.
Yeah, and just a little bit of background on kind of the objectives and the reason really that Sarah came up with the idea is that there is no single source of that kind of data. Still isn't, other than our study. And at that time, there was not a single source. A single source.
Oh, it's all anecdotal.
Anecdotal, or you were getting information from the different media outlets themselves. So there was no independent
right.
single source that combined everything.
Adjectival collateral
under,
coupled with the BPAs.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So really we wanted something, a single source of data that would help government contractors develop their marketing plans and guide their media placement decisions. I mean, you and I know, Mark, that even more so today, folks have very little margin of error in the marketing dollars that they're spending.
Dollars are tight.
They cannot afford to make mistakes. And this study and the online tool, we haven't really talked about that, but the data is ported into an online tool, so it puts everything at the user's fingertips, right, mm-hmm. right at their desktop. You know, they can really target what audience are they going after, and then where, you know, funnel that into their marketing decisions and their media placement decisions. How do they want to go after that particular audience? And all of that data is right there on their desktop. So really, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's
back,
a ton of data. A ton of data.
I've been to each of the programs where you've announced these. I've been fortunate enough to be able to preview some of the data each
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't subscribe. So I'll take what I can get for free.
As soon as the tool is ready, we're still loading data in.
Yeah.
I'll get you a preview of it before the 29th.
Cool. But you know, I used you in the first study in my first book, Government Marketing Best mm-hmm. Practices. I used it because it gave solid background to otherwise anecdotal information.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the things we were talking about were dead on. Some of the things we were talking about were dead wrong.
Right.
So, you know, and I don't mind being wrong. I just like to know it somewhere along the line. It's
right.
not something I enjoy,
yeah.
but it happens.
It does happen. I don't think you were, you know, we're too far off the mark, but the other nice thing about this is things that are anecdotal and things that you sort of intuit or that you think are right, we now have data that supports that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for example, I know social media is growing. This study this year really put in black and white just how much it is growing in the federal market. So it's nice to have those kind of numbers behind what you sense and feel anecdotally is happening in the market.
Well, let's go back without naming names. The first study, I talked to a number of publishers and media people before and after, and some of them were not pleased with the results. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is, and, you know, this type of study, you're always going to have that. Looking at the results, and I actually just looked at the results myself for this year a few days ago, we're going to have the same thing this year. There are going to be some outlets that are not particularly pleased with the results, but it is what it is.
Right. Well, last year I know that several of us here at Federal News Radio, I'm not a Federal News Radio employee. I do a show once a week, but I'm a huge fan of this outlet. Last year, we weren't a blip on the radar.
Well, last year, what I call companion websites to radio stations were not asked about in the study. And that's the other thing about a study, a syndicated study like this. It will never be all things to all people. You cannot meet everyone's needs. That's what custom research is for.
Yeah.
But we have tried to evolve the study and kind of swap things out. Last year, we asked about particular events, names of events. This year, we dropped that question out. We've substituted some new things in this year. Companion websites for radio stations are in the study this year.
I saw that.
So I think you'll be pleased with
your
results.
Well, yeah, and I know other people here,
right,
including people upstairs at WTOP, will be pleased.
Right.
Well, they were pleased last year.
Well, TOP, I mean, that's no surprise. That's sort of, to me, that's a no-brainer. I mean,
yeah,
that always has been, always will be.
You have WTOP on your dial.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer when you look at the results on TOP. And, you know, always has been, always will be.
Okay.
You know, and so we did add a few, we expanded our social media questions this year. We also added some questions around mobile communications devices, because that's all also anecdotally.
Going back to one of your early studies.
Yeah, yeah. A little different type of mobile devices, but
right.
Yes. But that's also something anecdotally that we hear a lot of buzz about in the contractor community, about how that's growing. So we really wanted to put some meat and teeth behind that. You know, what is actually happening with mobile devices in the government space? We added, as we've talked about, the radio station websites, and we also added local TV news this year to get some information there in terms of what people are watching for their news.
I was on WBAL a week or so ago for 30 whole seconds. Because no contractor would talk about the possible shutdown.
Oh, wow.
None.
Really?
Yeah, it's too politically charged.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah, what's the name of your show again?
All right, so anyway, Sarah comes up to you and says, let's do this. So 3 years later, you guys are cranking out, you know, it's not like the WashTech Top 100, and I don't know why, because for me, this is one of the most anticipated events every year, because it's going to help me help companies enter the market, grow market share, spend less money more intelligently. It'll help me push, which I've been doing, as you know, for a long time, various aspects of Web 2.0, particularly social media, as a viable information sharing tool.
Well, and I think that the marketing folks within our contractor clients, the marketing communications folks, marketing strategy, they often do have an internal battle about, you know, where they believe the dollars should be spent and selling that up and getting buy-off on it. Social media is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everyone just loves, you said they highly anticipate it, and they do, because this helps them build their business case for what it is they want to do with their marketing dollars. We've seen attendance at this event grow every year for the past 3 years. We have outgrown the Tower Club, made the decision we're not going back because there's just not enough room
us. If you can't do it, you can't do it.
So,
come over to Mason with me.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. But we figured Marriott and Tyson's right next to the Tower Club. It'll still be convenient for everyone. So,
parking's okay.
Yeah, parking's okay. So I've been very pleased with how it's grown, and we've had a lot of buzz around it this year.
Give me a seat.
Absolutely. We'll always have a seat for you up front, Mark.
Cool. My guest today is Lisa Dizzuti, CEO of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. And I suggest that when you hear this broadcast, you go to that site and reserve your seat. The seat's only like $30 or $40 to...
It's $35 for industry, $15 for government.
Okay, there you go. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Hey, Caps fans, place a deposit for full season tickets now and reserve your spot for the 2011-2012 season. Deposits are fully refundable and can be used towards other ticket purchases while retaining your place in line for full season plans next season. For more info on placing your full season ticket deposit, call 202-266-CAPS or log on to WashingtonCaps.com and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Here's what you can do to help stop the flu. Cough or sneeze into your sleeve, not your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water or alcohol-based hand sanitizers. You should avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. Germs spread that way. Stay home if you're sick and get a seasonal flu shot. For more on flu prevention and seasonal flu shot locations offered by Adventist Healthcare, go to HelpStopTheFlu.com. That's HelpStopTheFlu.com.
In partnership with WTOP Radio, a Bonneville station, together making a difference in Washington.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
If you're a woman and you're sick and tired of watching your hair get thinner and thinner, we're about to challenge everything you think you know about hair loss. Because we're going to send you a risk-free trial of a product with an FDA-approved ingredient clinically proven to help stop women's hair loss and regrow hair. It's called Keranique. Find out how you can try it risk-free by calling 1-800-600-0209 in the next 10 minutes. You're going to be amazed by what you see. Because Keranique is formulated especially for women to help repair hair follicles, prevent premature hair loss, and regrow thicker, fuller hair. And it's sulfate-free, which means it's safe for color-treated hair. Ladies, it's finally your turn to be free from embarrassing hair loss. Call 1-800-600-0209 in the next 10 minutes and try Keranique before you buy it. But hurry, supplies are extremely limited. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-600-0209. That number again is 1-800-600-0209.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is trying to sneak out of a really boring meeting wearing tap shoes a bad idea?
Sales growth has increased 2.9%. That's a reflection of aggressive... Ben, where are you going?
Nowhere. Headed back to my seat now.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn the song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
911.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Lisa Dizzuti, who is the president and CEO of MarketConnectionsInc.com. I cannot emphasize this enough. I rely on Market Connections studies to help me grow my clients in the government market. I know a lot of things anecdotally that work, experientially that work, But when this study comes out, I pay extraordinary attention. So I would strongly suggest if you're listening to this show, even if you're listening in the archives, contact Market Connections, see if the event's already passed, see what you can get from them. Buy the study. It's worth it because it'll save you tons and tons of money. Anyway, Lisa, let's talk about some of the data points on the new one.
Absolutely. A little bit of background on the respondent base. We had over 2,600 respondents this year, Mark. That's the biggest sample that we've had.
I saw the pool that you drew from. Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah. So we're very pleased to get such a robust sample. That gives you a less than 1% margin of error. Better than any political poll that you might be hearing about. So we were pleased to get such a terrific response base. That base seems to be growing every year that we do the study. We asked about 37 different publications, their companion websites. We asked about 16 social media sites, 14 business and news media sites, 10 leading local news channels and cable networks, and 16 local radio station. So actually you have a study within a study because all of the Washington metro area respondents were asked about local TV, radio. Mm-hmm. So it's we have sort of a mini study of the Washington metro area within the larger study. 24 different job functions, 29 different product and services represented. So that's kind of cool because you can take those a lot of those different demographics and you can drill down using the tool.
When she says drill down, this is not just a study. This is a database.
Yeah. This is a tool where you can go. It's very easy. It's online at your desktop. The opening page has like 6 drop-down boxes where you can select I want to look at IT, those individuals that are involved in an IT job function within the Department of Defense that are GS 15 or higher, and I want to see what publications they're reading, what websites they're going to, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of power in the tool. Good mix of civilian and defense respondents, good mix of regions, not just National Capital Area, but from all of the GSA regions. It is a very highly educated audience. We had nearly half, 49%, have a postgraduate degree or have done some sort of postgraduate study.
Almost half your audience.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing we were kicking around the office the other day, interesting that we haven't looked at the data point yet, but you could, if you want to see what kind of brain drain is going on, the older respondents in the audience, you could do that drill down or that crosstab. Are the older respondents those that have those postgraduate degrees? Are those the folks that are retiring? So, you can use it for things other than just media consumption.
Well, yeah, there's a number of schools, though, especially in the immediate area that have, the advanced information technology degrees at the master's and doctoral level.
Mm-hmm.
And a large portion, George Mason and others, there's just a ton of feds who do that. And I have a friend who's in the Army Corps of Engineer, and they actually offered a master's degree program in their meeting room at the Army Corps at headquarters. Mm-hmm. So they contracted with George Washington University to bring in a professor, I think it was twice a week for 2 or 3 hours at a time, to come in, and they paid for that, and so Army Corps people could get advanced engineering degrees.
That's a great benefit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were doing that. That's great.
It was cool.
We're also seeing in the study over the last 3 years, not something that's that surprising, but we're actually seeing it in black and white, and that is the changing age demographic. So last year versus this year, if you look at the 55-year-plus older category, we had 40% of the respondents falling into that category last year. This year, we only have 33% that are 55 and older. So, those folks are beginning to retire, and we're seeing the younger demographic pop up a little bit. So
the workforce
is becoming younger.
Font and they couldn't read it.
Yeah, that would be my problem. We asked about preferred way to read trade publications. We didn't see any change in this over last year. Print is still the preferred way to read trade publications, with 40% noting it. And we hear this in other research that we're doing in this market as well. I hear it when I'm doing focus groups with federal employees. They want their trade publications, whether it's, the 1105 publications or the defense news publications or the government executives, whatever the publication is, they want to be able to put it in their briefcase. They want to take it on the train. They want to take it on the bus. If they're getting on a plane, they want to be able to have it with them.
Right. They don't have downtime when they're going to and from, unless, of course, they're reading the Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Right. That's right. And I think if we had asked the question a little bit differently, we asked specifically about trade publications. I think if we had asked about how do you like, what's your preferred way to consume news in general, we may have seen a different answer. I know personally, I consume a lot of my general news online. I mean, I get little short bites of information. I don't subscribe to the Washington Post anymore.
I do because I love the comics and the crossword.
you can't get that online?
Don't like one of the, I probably could, but I don't like one of the reporters at all.
All right.
I won't mention them.
staying with, though, the trade publications, let me just give you a little bit of advanced information on what the top three publications. Come to the event and you can see more of that. But top three publications read across government, so that's across the entire government, is Government Executive, followed by Federal Times, and then Federal Computer Week or FCW.
Okay.
Now,
these are just feds, not
just
contractors.
Just feds.
Okay.
Yeah. Only feds in the sample.
Okay.
We didn't talk to any contractors.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just feds. Now, if you take that and you isolate federal IT responsibility, I have a job function that involves IT, or I make decisions or influence decisions around IT purchases,
mm-hmm.
and you look to see what those folks are reading rather than just the general federal audience.
Slightly different
You see a different list. You know, let's see. I have it here somewhere. If you look at that, FCW is at the top, GCN followed by GCN, followed by Federal Times. So the mix changes. And again, if you look that up by civilian versus defense employees, if you isolate defense employees, that top three list is going to change yet again. But that's the beauty of the tool, which
right.
is why we're encouraging everybody to use it, because you can really narrow in on the audience that you want to go after
yeah.
and what's going to be most effective in reaching them.
Did you get any feedback from the Intel community on what they read?
We do have.
Cool.
We do. It's not. I don't know what the number is, but
that's okay.
We do.
Go to the.
We do have them in.
I'll be there.
We do have them in the sample.
Cool.
We have worked very diligently over the last 15 years to develop ways to get them to participate in research, and it always has been, still is difficult.
Yeah.
But we've done a better job over the last few years of penetrating that community.
Well, they probably know a little bit more about who
yeah.
you are now.
Yes. Yeah. There's a comfort level and a trust
goes
and a trust
back
factor
to the basic
there.
Premise of the market,
yeah.
which is it's all about relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. The other interesting thing on the print side that I just wanted to mention is, you know, while the relative order or the rankings didn't change that much from last year, we didn't mm-hmm. see that much of a difference in terms of who the top three were in that order. We did see across all of the top publications that overall readership was down by about 10%. And what that tells us is that people are engaged in a wider range of media outlets. A little bit to that conversation we were having
right.
earlier. There's a wider range of choices and media outlets that they can touch and use and interact with.
Okay. Now, could it also mean that they may be looking at those websites and just not really realize that that's what they're seeing? And you do a Google search, you find an article, you go to it, you read it, and you don't even really look at where it's from.
It could be. The stat that I just quoted you was for print, not the websites. But
right.
That certainly could be a factor influencing the web stats. I don't know that we saw the same drop in web. But absolutely, I hear that, again, in other research that we do. That is a phenomenon that occurs. They do the Google search, and they pop in somewhere, and they don't even really realize where they are.
Right now, we're doing anecdotal,
yeah.
not
yeah.
research-based.
Yes.
But
okay.
my guest today is Lisa Dizzuti, CEO of Market Connections. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the details of the study. We'll tell you again how to register for this event, and I would, again, just strongly suggest you be there. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Tune in to The Federal Drive every weekday morning from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Hear news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Tom and Amy will give you the information you need to help explain and navigate your world. Listen on the radio at Federal News Radio 1500 AM, morning 6 to 10, or go to federalnewsradio.com and click Listen Live. The Federal Drive is sponsored by Symantec Confidence in a Connected World.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday mornings at 10, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arinc.
The Air Force was considering sending over some nuclear reactor coolant to Japan to help cool down Fukushima No. 1, their nuclear reactor that was damaged in the earthquake, but the Japanese government got it under control themselves. The coolant is usually water, but sometimes it's a gas, or a liquid metal, or molten salt. It's circulated past the reactor core to absorb the heat that it generates. It's turned into steam and then blown away from the reactor. I'm J.J. Green.
A concern of every pilot is the weather and needing to know if the conditions are about to deteriorate either on the flight path or where the aircraft is landing. That's where Arinc comes in. At the aircrew's request, Arinc texts the latest weather information directly to the cockpit, thus providing pilots the information they need to decide whether to change routes or divert to another landing location. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Last April, 256 senior federal managers went missing. Are you next? The most successful managers know to never pass up an opportunity to learn. Join them this year to discover how to maximize your agency's forward momentum at the Federal Senior Management Conference at the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay in Cambridge, Maryland, this April 10th through 13th. The Federal Senior Management Conference is the preeminent conference for senior federal managers, presented for government by government advisors, with registration open only to government employees. Register now at fedsmc.com or call 202-237-0300.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Lisa DeZutti, President and CEO of Market Connections. You can find her and this study and the event at marketconnectionsinc.com. Lisa, let's do one or two more data points from the new study.
Yeah, I'll give you some quick highlights. Top three websites across government, CNN, Fox News, and weather.com. So those were the top websites. There are many more that you can come and see at the event, but those were at least the top three. And CNN really popped up on the radar last year and has stayed. We saw it year one, popped up last year strong, and has stayed strong again this year. We have seen, as I thought we would, a big change in social media this year. We've been tracking social media in the federal government for a number of years now, been relatively slow adoption, low numbers. We've been saying that we, you know, expect to see that change and see a change significantly.
Right.
And we do see that this year. Last year, 20%, only 20% said that they could actually access social networking sites from work. This year, that number has jumped to nearly 50%. It's 46% are accessing social sites. So that's a big jump. We've also seen some significant changes in the tools themselves. What tools are being used within government and how they're being used, what they're being used for. I'll tell you, it's more than just recruiting, which is what a lot of feds were using it for, as well as government contractors. So we're seeing that change. I'm not going to give you the specifics. I want everybody to come to the event on the 29th to hear about it, but it's some really interesting stuff around changes with social media and the government market.
Very cool.
Okay. Let's see, what else do we have for you? Trade shows, conferences, we sort of asked about them in general. Trade shows, conferences, industry events, more widely attended than webinars, 52% attending 1 to 3 of those conferences, trade shows a year. If you drill down, though, on webinars into the technology function, the IT function, you'll see that those are more likely to be consumed. Webinars are more likely to be consumed by the techies
right.
in the federal space.
Yeah, and it's a great selling tool because the audience doesn't have to be big.
Right.
It has to be very focused.
Right.
And at the end of the thing, you have to have a way to sell them the technology.
So absolutely.
You need a contractual vehicle.
Absolutely.
So it's not for everybody.
That's right.
You know, it's the Chris Anderson, the long tail effect.
Mm-hmm.
You can ferret out any audience you want.
That's absolutely right. We did ask new this year about mobile devices, and 53% are accessing email on mobile devices. 34% are accessing news websites that way. So not just email, but they're accessing news websites on their mobile devices as well.
You know, I finally broke down and got a droid.
How do you like it?
I you don't want to know.
Yeah.
But I bought my 13-year-old son one. Exact same thing at the same time, so he could teach me how to use it.
Yeah, I love checking my email on my mobile devices. Do not enjoy news websites, though. So interesting to see that number actually was as high as it was, 34% accessing news websites that way. I guess the iPhone perhaps has made that a little bit easier. We do see some differences, as you might expect, between CIV and DOD folks here. DOD being, I think, a little more restrictive than some of their civilian counterparts in terms of how they can use those particular devices. So that's just a sort of an interesting difference to note. No surprise, we talked about it earlier on the radio stations and companion websites. WTOP tops the list again this year, 44% tuning into TOP, and also the leading radio website, followed by Fed News Radio. So Fed News Radio is right up there.
We're
number two. That's right. Top TV stations included CNN and NBC, WRC, I call it News 4, and that also mirrors some of the other studies that we've done recently around TV viewership in the Washington area.
For those of you not in the D.C. area, these are D.C.-based. CNN's not D.C.-based, but...
Right. So those are some of the highlights. I encourage everybody to come out to the event on Tuesday, March 29th. We are starting at 8 o'clock. We'll have some networking time early on and then get into some really interesting data and a demonstration of the tools. So we'll give you more details on what I've shared with you today. I've just given you some highlights, and we'll show everybody how the tool works. And I love the tool. It's a cool thing, and it puts everything right at your fingertips so you can access it whenever you need to.
Yeah, let me emphasize the networking part. Not only will the information be good, but there will be a lot of very intelligent people here, sales, marketing, and business development folks, and some C-level folks as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we have government that attends as well.
Yeah. Well,
it's a tool, you know, government agencies that are marketing to other agencies. This is a great tool for them.
I would hope that GSA would have a few people in attendance, but you also have three other studies coming out soon. Give us a brief about each of them, please.
Yeah, just quickly. We have a study that we did on behalf of Lockheed Martin that's going to be released next week, and that's around the topic of intersection of open source and cloud computing. We're doing a lot more work, I think I mentioned earlier, around that topic. I can't share a lot of the results with you because they haven't released it, and I want them to have a chance to put that out. Should be coming out next week, though, some very interesting information. So, keep your eyes and ears open for that one. We are going to be repeating our popular government contractor study this year. We did that probably about a year and a half ago now, if I'm remembering correctly. I was surprised at how popular that particular study was. And that the focus that about a year and a half ago was around best practices of government contractors in terms of business development, a little bit on marketing, but heavy emphasis on business development. And I guess they all sort of viewed it as a benchmarking against each other. They want to know what their peers are doing in this space.
You gotta.
So we plan on repeating that, and we're going to be expanding that. We're going to try and include, we're going to put a little bit more emphasis on marketing. You know, what's being, dollars being spent, and what is it being spent on? We will still ask some questions around best practices in business development. We're also going to try, and we're finalizing topics, but we want to look at the impact of, you know, some of the key things that are floating around, the 25-point plan. What impact is that having?
Mm-hmm.
How are contractors continuing to deal with OCI? Is that still an issue? Technically acceptable lowest price. How is that impacting the contracting community? So we'll be asking about things like that. Looking forward to having that come out this summer. That'll be this summer. Then in the fall, we have our third study that will be coming out, and that will be a repeat of the social media study. And we'll really be looking at changes and in adoption since we did the study last year,
mm-hmm.
and how agencies are using social media, and an exploration of, you know, what are still the security issues and challenges. So really we'll do some benchmarking against what has changed, what the trends are, but doing a little bit of deeper dive in terms of how they're applying it, what are they using it for? Not just the fact that they're using Facebook or LinkedIn, but why? What are they using it for? What benefit are they getting out of it?
Anecdotally, I can give you a lot of stuff, but again, it's not statistical.
Well, we may talk to you when we're developing the survey. So
cool.
Give us some input.
Yeah.
So exciting stuff. And then, of course, in between all of that, all of our custom studies are going to keep us really busy this year. So.
I would assume so. And, you know, it's been fun to watch Market Connections over the last 15 years because you've evolved into I always thought you were a significant player because you've lent information that helps me help my clients. But that means there's information there for any contractor in the government market that they really need to access. And it's just been nice to watch the evolution. So congratulations on that and your 15 years.
Thank you, Mark.
It's been
a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we do good work and help a lot of people, and we have a lot of fun along the way. So it's been a great ride.
Every now and again, our clients have overlapped, so I've been able to access some of the work along the way.
Yes.
Without having to pay for it.
There you go.
So, yeah, but you know, it works. So, you know, here's what we need to implement. Boom. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing all of people listening out there on the 29th. You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Lisa DeZutti, CEO of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. One other place that I do expect to see you, March 22nd, we will host our second Government Marketing Best Practices, which we host the first one March 9th at George Mason University as part of our program with the School of Management at George Mason University. You can find information about that at federaldirect.net. Just click on the big yellow star in the middle of the page. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with Amtower.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source.